Today she is Masechet Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Aled. We will begin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Siram Shtaleach, five lines from the wide lines. Our Mishnah taught us that there are different situations where the subject of Halos Chutz, which we have been examining so extensively, does not apply. And one of the examples the Mishnah gave was the Sar HaMishtaleach. Asked the Gemara Mini, but we learned in a Braisa, Oy Karbin. The Pasuk, when it discusses where there's a din of Halos Chutz, uses the words Oy Karbin. Shemeani, so we would perhaps assume that Fila Kotcha by the Kabayis, that even Kotcha by the Kabayis, we know there are two types of Hegdish, there's Kedushas HaGuf. The best example is when you magdish an animal as a carbon. It has a kedushas aguf. And there's kedushas by the kabayis. When you magdish something for the hegdish fund, that perhaps the halachas of halachas chutz even apply to kotcha by the kabayis. For we find, says the Braisa, shenikru carbon, that they're also considered a carbon. Shenemer, as the pasuk says, v'nakrev as carbon Hashem. Tamaloymer, that's why the Pasuk, in describing the halachas of halachas chutz, says, "V'pesach ha'il meid lo haviyu," to teach us, "Mi shiroi lova b'ha'il meid," only something that's brought on the Mizbeach, is there a halacha that if you brought that chutz, yachai for halachas chutz, yotze kodesh by the kabayis, this comes to exclude kodesh by the kabayis, she einen ruyim, that don't have a place on the Mizbeach. Actually, Rashi brings two pshatim why kotcha by the kabayis are excluded from the halacha of halos chutz. The simpler pshat, which Rashi actually says second, is because it's a different, as we said a few moments ago, it's a different category of hegdish. And the halacha of halos chutz wasn't said to that category of hegdish. One pshat. But then Rashi says another interesting pshat. It's a halacha that we've discussed previously. The halacha is that if somebody is magdish an animal, which is perfectly fine, for beda kabayis, so the halacha is that even though you are magdish it for beda kabayis, you can't use it for beda kabayis. Because any animal that you're magdish that can be brought as a carbon, must be brought as a carbon. And therefore, Rashi says in explaining the braisa, let's look at this animal. If it's a Baal Mum, then it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, as we're going to discuss soon even more. If, on the other hand, it's not a Baal Mum, it's going to be put on the Mizbeach anyway. So there is no situation of Bed Kabayis that you should have Halos Chutz on that animal. So just to understand the two Pshatim of Rashi, what's the Nafgamina between the two Pshatim? According to the first Pshat that we quoted, as soon as you were magdish something for Bedek Abayis, it makes no difference what you were magdish. It's a different type of Kedusha. And that type of Kedusha, the din of Halos Chutz wasn't said to. The other Pshat Rashi is saying that there's no place that it should be relevant, but not that it's impossible to be relevant. Continues the Braisa. Oitzis Elu Shein Ruyin, so I will exclude the Kotcha Bedek Abayis again, according to the way we just explained, very nice, because it has no place on the Mizbeach. But I will not exclude the Sar Mishtaleach, Shuroi Lovoi Apesach Oil Moid. It can be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Not only can it be brought, it is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, because first the two Seirim that they did the Goyal on Yom Kippur were brought to the Azara. Tamalayim Allah Hashem, Lahaitzi Asir Mishtaleach, Shenem Yuchel Hashem. So the question of Gemara is, our Mishnah said that why is the Sar HaMishtaleach excluded from the din of Halos Chutz, as we learned in the Mishnah, because the Pasuk says, V'Pesach Oyamayid Loi Hivioi. Third line of the Mishnah. Kosha Ein Roy Lov HaPesach Oyamayid Ein Chayav Malov. In din, this Bryce is agreeing with our Mishnah. But the Bryce is bringing a different source for this rule. The Bryce is using the Pasuk Lashem. So, we have a kasha. What is the source? What is Sar HaMishtaleach is excluded from Halos Chutz? Is it the word Lashem? which is quoted in this braisa, or is it the words al pesach ha'el mayid, which is mentioned in our Mishnah? That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha, kan koidim agrola, kan la'ach agrola. Before the gairol, it's excluded because of the word la'ashem, because it can still be brought to the azara. It's excluded because it's not la'ashem. After the gairol, then it's ready taken out, and therefore it's excluded from the pasuk of our Mishnah of Al Pesach Ha'el Moed. As the Gemara, just because the agrola took place, acha agrola, there's still some, it still belongs in the Pesach Ha'el Moed. Hoike vidui, because it has to remain in the azara until after vidui. So how can we say that once gairol took place, that's why it's excluded? Because it doesn't belong in the Pesach Ha'el Moed, it does belong in the Pesach Ha'el Moed. Ela Amar Rav Mani, loy kasha, kan koidim vidui, kan lacha vidui. Before vidui, we have the pasuk of El Pesach Ha'el Moed. After vidui, before vidui, we have the pasuk Lashem, because it does belong in the Pesach Ha'el Moed. So we can't rely on the pasuk of Pesach Ha'el Moed to exclude it. We use the pasuk Lashem. After the vidui, there it doesn't belong in the Pesach Ha'el Moed because it's removed, taken out to the mountain by the Ish Itai, and therefore it's excluded from Pesach Ha'el Moed because it doesn't belong in the Pesach Ha'el Moed. Very fundamental, Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara L'maskana. Clearly the Gemara is teaching us that before Vidui and after Vidui, after Goyrol, this Sar Mishtaleach, there is no din of halos chutzon. But how do we understand the Gemara prior to the vidui? It's only by the gairol or after the gairol. How do we understand the Gemara lemaskana? Pashup pshat, if you learn the Mishnah is saying that the Sar Mishtaleach in all its various stages is excluded from din of halos chutz. But it could be, and it's a Tosfos Yishanim and Masechet Yuma, that L'maskonas ha-gemara, until after the gairol, since this animal, what does the gairol accomplish? What the gairol accomplishes is that we have two animals that are identical, as we learned in Masechet Yuma, and the gairol tells us which animal is la-shem and which animal is la-zazel. Since at that point, until the gairol took place, both animals are equal, so both animals will be treated subject to the din of halos chutz. And therefore, our Mishnah is not as black and white as it was till now. Till now, we said that the Sar Mishtaleach is always excluded from the Din of Halos Chutz. The way we're learning now, according to Tosfos Yeshanim and Masechet Yuma, that's only after the Gairol took place. But before the Gairol took place, it would indeed both animals be equally subject to the Din of Halos Chutz. So we learned in the Mishnah a list of animals that all have physical deficiencies, physical disqualifications, that are therefore excluded from the halach of Allah's chutz. And the Mishnah said, Haroveya v'anirva, and the Mishnah gave a whole list, and why does the Mishnah say they're all excluded? Because the pasuk uses the words, Lefnei Mishkan Hashem, Kosh en a royal level Lefnei Mishkan Hashem. Ask the Gemara, V'anami tep klim pesach ha'el moed, ask the Gemara, why do we need a new pasuk of Lefnei Mishkan Hashem? We should say that they're excluded because of the pasuk of Pesach Ha'el Moed, that they can't be used for carbon. And anything that can't be used for carbon, there's no din of Allah's chutz. Says the Gemara. On Revei v'Nirva, we could explain as follows. Bishlam Revei v'Nirva, why we need a new pasuk. Bishkachas lei, the gdishinim yikara, that you are magdish behemis, so the hegdish is chal on those behemis. And then, so they are hegdish. So the pasuk of a Pesach Ha'el Moed cannot be the pasuk that excludes them, because they're hegdish. So they do belong a Pesach Ha'el Moed. What must be the pasuk that excludes them lifnei Mishkan Hashem? And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim already, stop here and say a very important rule. What is the Gemara saying? We're referring here to a situation where you had animals, you were magdish them, so they belong a Pesach Ha'el Moed, and somebody then sodomized those animals, and therefore they become usur, even though those animals don't belong to you. The person that was revived, those animals belong to Hegdish. and we have a rule, Ein Adam Oyser Davish Erishaloi, a person doesn't have the ability to prohibit, to make something that's not his Oser. So the Rishonim say, where do we say the rule of Ein Adam Oyser Davish Erishaloi? There's a number of ways of looking at it. Where I should go and say, if I come here and I say, your money should be Hegdish. I can't make your money into Hegdish. It's not my money to make Hegdish. But where it involves an act, there the halacha is that where an act is involved, the fact that it doesn't belong to the person who did the act doesn't change the halacha. And therefore, somebody was reveya an animal that doesn't belong to him, that animal becomes disqualified. There's actually a machloikus rishonim, Ravid and Rash, how to understand this concept. The Ravid learns it very simple. It's like basically what we just said. Whenever an act is involved, the person has the ability, if he did an act, even though it's not his, doesn't belong to him, he could ask her. The Rash says it's not such a hard and fast rule, because sometimes you have to have an act coupled with a machshava. And I'll give you some halach lemaisa issues where this comes up. One place that the Pais can discuss is the halacha. It says in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, wherever one must wash his hands, used water you're not allowed to use. Water that was already used, you can't use for Netilas Yadayim. So let's say I prepare myself my water to do Netilas Yadayim, and then you use that water. So you had no right to use my water. Doesn't change the halacha. Once you use that water, it falls into the category of used water, and I can't use it for Netilas Yadayim. Another interesting subject that I saw that the Pais can discuss, the halach is, the l'chatchila, one should not live on top of a shul. In fact, there's a famous Taz, that the Taz says that he originally lived in the city of Krakow, and he had a lot of problems, and he attributed the tzaras that he had, he says, he attributed the tzaras that he had because he lived on top of a shul. So what's the shahalocha? I own an apartment and a house. I rent an apartment and a house. And now they go and they make a shtibel on the first floor of my house. So now I'm living on top of a shul. Could the person who made that shul, the fact that he made that shul, make it awesome for me to live in my house? Or certainly to have to be careful what I do in my house. It's a very serious shaila. And the Paiskim say, I saw Shevet Alevi has a shaila on this, Laris Nussin. A lot of Paiskim discuss the shaila. And they suggest that the person who's going ahead and making a shul on the first floor of a house where you have many people living in upper apartments and causing them aggravation, he should be magdish, that the shul shouldn't have a din of a base of Knesset or a base of Medrash. It should be a place where they gather to Devon. That's where the word shtibel comes from. It's just a shtibel, it's just a room. It's not a base of Knesset or a base of Medrash. But now, there's another area where I saw the Pais can discuss this concept. We know that in Hilchas Muksa, there's a concept of a Bosses L'davar Asur. That if you take something which is Muksa, and you put it on the table becomes Muksa. It's a Bosses L'davar Asur. So if I go and I put money on this table, Erev Shabbos, not a table, I'm not allowed to move on Shabbos. Yes, there's a Bosses L'davar Asur of a Heter. But let's say it only has a Davar Asur on it, it becomes Muksa. So what happens, I come to your home. I walk into your home, on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, and I take out my money, and I put it down on your table. So do I have the ability to make your table, if you wanted to be able to move your table on Shabbos, but I put money, so it's a bustle of Asr. And it's an act, I put it down. Do we say that I will make your table Muksa? Here the Paiskim already not so clear. Why? Because in Hilchas Muksa, it's not just based on facts. On facts on the ground. Machshava is a very big part of Hilchas Muksa. The best proof is, what does the word Muksa mean? Muksa means set aside. Set aside doesn't only mean physically set aside. Set aside also means mentally set aside. So it could be that even though there's money mamish on the table, but it wasn't with your consent, and it wasn't with your knowledge, it's just I, who don't own this table, did it, it wouldn't become Muksa. So back into the Gemara. The Mishnah gave a list of various disqualified animals that don't have a din of Allah's chutz because of the pasuk Liftei Mishkan Hashem. And the Gemara is trying to understand why we needed a new pasuk for these cases. So the case of Revei v'Nirva, I think we've successfully explained. Bishlam Revei and Nirva Mishkachslo, the Gdishin Mikar became Hegdish, for Hadar Ravai, and then they were sodomized. So it was already Hegdish, so they are in the category of Pesach HaMoed, but they're not in the category of Lufnei Mishkan Hashem. Ask the Gemara al Muktzav Neved. Let's understand what happened here. If this animal was Hegdish, and now somebody went and designated it for Avodah Zarah, you can't designate the Hegdish's animal as Avodah Zarah. And as the Rishonim point out, even if you'll explain that Nevad means that you not just worship the animal, you actually did something with the animal, Muksa doesn't mean you did anything. What is the definition of the word Muksa? The definition of the word Muksa is designated. So somebody can't just go and designate Hegdish's animal and make it into Avodah Zarah. The whole thing isn't Chal. And Adam dies to Davish and Shaloi. It must be that it was like that originally. If it was that originally, so it should be excluded because of the Pasuk of Pesach Oil Moyed. Why do I need to exclude it because of the Pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem? Answers the Gemara. There is a way where an animal is already Hegdish and somebody can make it Osir. Where? The Kachim Kalim. There's a famous question. How does the Halacha look at Kachim Kalim? Does the Halacha look at Kachim Kalim as the property of Hegdish? Or does the Halacha look at Kachim Kalim as also the property of the owner? And I'll leave the Rabbi Yosef Glili, Dormer, who his opinion is, Kachim Kalim, Mom and Balam, who it's considered still the property of the original owner. Where does Rabbi Yosef Glili take this from? The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Amal Amal Bashem, the Rabbis, Kachim Kalim, Shem and Moinai, to Rabbi Yosef Glili. So let's explain. The Halach is that if somebody, if I come over to somebody and I say, you owe me money, you have my pekadon, and he denies falsely, and then he admits that he lied, so he has to pay Karen V'Chaimish, the principal plus a fifth, and bring Karban Hashem. What happens if I come over to somebody and I say, you were holding my Kachim Kalim? I had an animal that I designated as a carbon, Shlomim, Kachim Kalim. You were holding it, and he denies falsely. And then he admits that he lied. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says, why would it be a din of the regular din? It's not mine. I don't own it. Says Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Pasuk, by using the words Amal Amal Bashem, makes it mine. But what is an extension of that? That Kachim Kalim are still, to a degree, the property of the original owner. So we could have a situation where somebody was Magdish Behema for Kachim Kalim, for Karban Shlomim, and then afterwards, he can make it into an Avodah Zarah, and what he did is effective. And that's why it's excluded. We need a new pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem to exclude it from the din of Allah's chutz. So now, the Gemara takes stock. Hilkach, Revei v'Nirva that the Mishnah explained, since the Dvar Erva, something so disgusting happened to these animals, even though it didn't happen by the owner, because the owner is Hegdish, makes no difference. Muksa v'nevad, we're able to explain. Muksa v'nevad avodas kachavim, we just explained it's referring to Kachim Kalim. However, as the Gemara, the Mishnah continued listing different disqualifications. The Mishnah continued listing different disqualifications where the din of halos chutz will not apply based on the pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. And the Gemara asks, why do we need the new pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem when we can learn it from the old pasuk of our Pesach HaMoed? Estan u'mechir, and Estan u'mechir, klayim, yoytze doifim. Where is it possible? Because again, let's examine it. If they were that way before they were Hegdish, which is the simple case, if they were that way before Hegdish, so they were excluded because of Pesach HaMoed. And so if afterwards, if you were Magdish them, once you were Magdish something, even if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Rishonim explained, even Rabbi Yosef Glili says an owner can make his Kachim Kalim into an Esnan, or into a Mechir. Certainly can't make it into a Klaim or Yotze Doifin, because it's too late. It's already not Klaim. It's already was born naturally. So what is the Mishnah talking about? Why do we need the new Pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem? In all these cases, it was this way from the beginning. Answers the Gemara. It's referring to a situation with Vlad's Kachim, because some of Vladim Kachim have Yosem Hin Kadoshim. which means as follows. All of these animals had this disqualification because they became disqualified when they were in the womb of their mother, but they're not hegdish yet. Why are they not hegdish? Because the halacha is that hegdish is only chal on the children of mothers who are hegdish at the moment of birth, not before. So let's explain the Gemara, as Rashi does. What happens is like this. You have these various children, these various fetuses in the mother's womb. When you bring the mother, they would also come along as a carbon. You shech the mother, the child is in the womb, so it's part of the carbon. So then, while they're still in the womb, let's use one example, somebody went and designated that fetus in the womb of this hegdish that it should be used for payment to a zayna, an esnan. Why is it chal? Because it's not hegdish yet. Because when does it become hegdish? It only becomes hegdish when it's born. So his designation, I'm not condoning it, but we're talking halacha, is acceptable. Since his hegdish is an acceptable hegdish, since his making into an esnan is an acceptable halachic fact, so we can't disqualify it because of a Pesach Ayel Moed. It can be used as a carbon because it's part of the carbon of the mother. We need a new pasuk. What's the pasuk? Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. That's how to understand the Gemara in each one of these cases. Interesting enough, the Achronim say, what's pshat that lifnei, that vlad is kachim b'aviyosman condition that only become kaddish when they're born? There's two ways that the Achronim and the yeshivas worked with this. One way is it's a din in the birth, that the Torah tells us that for an animal to get the Kedusha, it had to experience a Leda, and without experiencing a Leda, it can't have Kedusha. Another way they explain, it has to be considered a Vlad, and until it's born, it's not considered a Vlad. There's a shtickle Torah from Rav Nachum. Rav Nachum wants to connect this to the question of Uba Yerech Imoy, to see how to explain this machlokes. There's also a beautiful vart in this Gemara from the Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda says he doesn't understand. The Gemara is saying, why isn't it obvious that all these various disqualifications certainly have no place on the Mizbeach? So why do I need a new pasuk? They should be disqualified because of the old pasuk of El Pesach Ayel Moed. He says, why is it so obvious? He says, since the halach is you could always be shoyl on your hegdish, hegdish we learned the other day, is just a form of a nether. Since it's a form of a nether, it may not be hegdish, because you could always have your hegdish annulled. And therefore, since it's so easy to annul your hegdish, that's why it should be considered perhaps not hegdish. That's his question. So he says, a gval de gavart. He says, we know throughout Shas, one of the rules that constantly comes up in Shas, is that in order to make an effective transaction, you have to have a kinyan. Without a kinyan, if I sell you something, you buy something from me, there has to be a kinyan. Where is there no kinyan required? By hegdish. Mirasa l'gavaya, k'misirasa l'hegdish. Just saying it's hegdish is enough. So we see it's very easy to make something hegdish. So since it's so easy to make something hegdish, because I guess if you want to explain it up, pidrush, because everything has a little hegdish in it already. We're all connected to Hegdish. We all ought to be connected to Hegdish. Therefore, just saying that I can make it no longer be Hegdish doesn't happen so easy. We learned in the Mishnah, and we're going to spend a lot of time now on this Machlaikas. Machlaikas between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon. Everybody agrees, as we have been learning in today's Shir, that something that's disqualified, there is no din of Allah's chutz. But Rav Shimon was Mechadish, that if it's something that's only a temporary disqualification, and he gave three examples, there, if you bring such an item, b'chutz, there won't be a chi of chorus, but there'll be a chi of lav. What were the three examples he gave? One was about mum over, a temporary mum. Another was toirim. We spoke when we learned the Mishnah, that birds, turtle doves, are only kosher for carbon once they're somewhat mature. And Oysav Espinoy, if the mother was slaughtered that day, you may not bring the child. So it's a temporary disqualification. Tomorrow will be fine. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. Why does Rav Shimon have to bring three examples for the same fundamental concept that something that's only temporary does have a chi of lav of Allah's chutz? Answers the Gemara. v'tzrichi. Ditan balim mumin. If we would say balim mumin, we'd say the rabbanon disagree with Rav Shimon by balim mumin. Meshundam isi. They're inherently disgusting. It's a balim mum. You don't bring a balim mum. Avol tyrant loy mi isi. They're not. There's nothing wrong. They're just too young. Aim at the moidalei Rav Shimon. Maybe they'll agree to Rav Shimon. On the other hand, says the Gemara, v'tan a tyrim meshum deloy chazi v'tchi. These tyrim that are too young were never qualified as a carbon. Av balim mumin. They were ichsi, they were once fine. The itcha, they just got damaged temporarily. Ema on such animals and such birds. Maidalul Rav Shimon, Rabbanon. Rav Shimon will agree to Rabbanon that there is no laugh. Vitan hani tarti. And if we only had these two cases, the Balmum Iver, the tyrant, Shinapsur de Gfayu. It's an inherent disqualification. A Balmum is an inherent disqualification. A tyrant too young is inherent to it. Aval Isis Benoi, the Psulma Almakasi, it's not anything to do with the animal itself. It's only because its mother happened to have been slaughtered that day, or vice versa. Ema Maidal Rab Shimon, that is so temporary. It's one day. By tomorrow it'll be fine. That you should at least have a Chiyiv Lav if you will Mala it Bechutz. Tzricha, that's why all three cases had to be mentioned individually in the Mishnah. Shahai Rab Shimon Aymer. Rav Shimon says that anything that's a temporary disqualification, anything that has a temporary disqualification, Rav Shimon taught us, has a chiv lav b'chutz. My time, Rav Shimon, says the Gemara, what is the basis for Rav Shimon's psak? Answers the Gemara, Amr Elo Amr Shlokish. Damakra. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, as they're entering Eretz Yisrael. And just let's review what we've learned numerous times. Klai Yisrael, and we will still continue discussing this. Klai Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael. The first 14 years they were in Eretz Yisrael, 7 of those years they were conquering the land, the next 7 years they were dividing the land. During those 14 years, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. And the Mishkan in Gilgal is not considered a full-fledged Mishkan. And as the Gemara will teach us, Mitzvah Shem, still in this parak, because the Aron wasn't firm in Gilgal, is with them in their battles. And therefore, any carbon seber that had to be brought in a Mishkan cannot be brought. But what could be done during those 14 years until they ultimately arrived to Shiloh? They could bring Kabbanis and Abama, whatever Kabbanis you could bring in Abama, as we discussed in the Mishnah. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, like Tzasin Kachol Hashem Nachna Oysen Paya Yon. Amalai Moshe Yisrael, when you arrived at Yisrael, Yisharus Takrivu, whatever you want to bring on the Dova, you could bring. Chayvus by Takrivu. But you can't yet bring the Karma Chayva. Why? As I just said, you're going to have to wait for the Mishkan Shiloh. Before you go further, I once saw Gevalda Gevart. It has nothing to do with Al Gemara, but it's a nice fart. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, Kalisa Li Yisrael, when a Jew comes to Israel, what are you supposed to do when you get to Israel? Yisharus Takrivu. You should see the good of Israel. Chayvus like Takrivu. Don't see the bad in Israel. Always look at the good of Eretz Yisrael. But that has nothing to do with our share. Yisharus Takrivu. Bring the carbon to Davis. Chayvus like Takrivu. But don't bring any carbon that you're obligated because you don't have a bummus, because you don't have a mizbeach. Now, makes the Gemara its point. Gilgal Agabes Shiloh. How do we view the relationship between Gilgal and Shiloh? Mechusas man. It's Mechusas man because the time hasn't yet come. Because you have to wait for the Shiloh to be brought, to be built, to become effect, to become in shape, to come together. The Kamala Moshe. And Moshe says, if you will bring a carbon before the right time, even though the time will ultimately come, when Shiloh is erected, you're over the lav of Laisasan. So this is where Rav Shimon says the Gemara at this point takes his din that if you bring a carbon that now is not kosher but will eventually be, you're over the lav of Laisasan. Ask the Rishash, there's a different problem. We know most kabbanis have to be brought in the first year, in the second year of its life. What did I say before? How many years was Gilgal up? 14 years. So these kabbanis won't be ever good. What's Rav Shimon saying? Something that's temporarily disqualified, you're over allowed. This is not temporarily disqualified. By the time Shiloh will be erected, they're going to be too old. They'll be inherently disqualified. So how do we understand this? Rishash stays with Akasha. I saw two turuts. One turuts the Karen Iris suggests is they didn't know how long this will take. They didn't know it's going to take 14 years. When somebody brought this carbon, for all he knew, Hashem will make a nace, and they'll divide and conquer Eretz Yisrael up in a couple of days. That's why it's considered only a temporary disqualification. That's how the Karen Iris answers. Rabbi Aaron Leish Steinman, in the Sefer Yalos HaShachar, gives a different teretz. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't speaking only about the first year of Gilgal, he was speaking about the 14th year also. In the 14th year, it's going to be soon that the Shiloh will be erected. So it's only a temporary disqualification. And that's what the Pasuk says, Loisasun, that you're over alav if you bring such a carbon b'chutz. Ask the Gemara, Gevaldik, we found a source for this lav. But ask the Gemara, if we found the source for this lav, Amr Yir Melev Zeiro, Ihochi, Milka Namilaki. So then you should get Malkus. It's a full-fledged lav. Alama Amr Zeiro. Why has Reb Zeiro taught us, why has the Pasuk taught us, Hakosuf Nitkala say, that it's only considered a lav, Hanitkala say, and there's no Malkus. And Rashi and Tosfos go to great lengths to explain that when the Gemara here calls it a lav hanitik lasei, it's not the classical explanation of lav hanitik lasei. What does lav hanitik lasei normally mean? A lav that could be corrected by an assay. What's the best example? Like sigzo, you're not allowed to steal, but it could be corrected. How could you correct it? Heishiv is a gzela. Here it doesn't mean that. There's no way to correct this. If somebody was ma'ala b'chutz, something they wasn't supposed to, you can't correct that. Rather, what the Mara means here, the Rishonim explain, when it calls it a lav shenitik lasei, is that the pasuk from which we learn it is a pasuk that's stated the lashon asei, and since the pasuk is stated the lashon asei, it's considered a lav for which there is no. It's considered a lav for which there is no malchus. What is the pasuk that says that it's an asei? So now our question comes back. Rav Shimon, our Gemara, has successfully identified in the bottom of Amud Aleph a lav for which is the basis to teach us that if something is temporarily disqualified and you amale it b'chutz, yechayiv the lav loisasun. And Rav Shimon said that in our Mishnah, yet why is there no Malkus? The Gemara just quoted that there is no Malkus. Answers the Gemara, well, we just quoted that there is no Malkus, Hani Mili L'Rabbanan, was going according to the opinion of Rabbanan. But Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, Hachinami, there would be Malkus. Why? Because of the Pasuk of Loisasin. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omer, Pnim the Gilgo, he says like this. The pasuk of Loisasun is not referring to a situation where you brought the carbon that's temporarily disqualified b'chutz. Because you didn't bring it b'chutz. It's not to be considered like you brought it in the Beis HaMikdash before the right time. Which is where Rav Shimon says that if you bring a carbon before the right time, you get a lav. Since Gilgal is a place where you're not supposed to bring these kabanas, it's considered b'chutz. So again, we're trying to find that you should get malchus for bringing a carbon that's temporarily disqualified b'chutz. B'fnim, I mean, this is not considered b'fnim. Because these kabanas don't belong in Gilgal. And since they don't belong in Gilgal, you might have brought it in the Gilgal compound, but it's considered like you brought it b'chutz. Rav Amma, now what the Gemara does, it goes back. How do we begin this piece of Gemara? We began this piece of Gemara trying to identify from where Rav Shimon knows that if you are makriv a carbon that's temporarily disqualified b'chutz, you're over a lav. Says Rava from a different place. Tam Rav Shimon, the basis for Rav Shimon is Ketanya Rav Shimon, as we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, we know a carbon Pesach is considered a carbon tzibur. Important rule. Why is a carbon Pesach considered a carbon tzibur? You would say it's not a carbon tzibur. Everybody has to bring their own carbon Pesach. So we learned the Gemara Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim explains, since carbon Pesach is brought by everybody together, it's considered, even though each one of us has our own obligation, it's considered a carbon tzibur. So Gemara says, "Menayin lezaveich Pesach bebamis yochid b'shas isra habamis." If somebody brings his carbon Pesach on a bamis yochid in the time when the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash or Shiloh was standing, shubaloi sase, that is over a laugh, tamaloimer, lesucha lezbayach as a Pesach. The pasuk continues, ba'achar asherech asher Hashem lekecha noisim lach. Ask the Gemara, so what are we saying? That the pasuk is teaching us that if you brought a carbon Pesach on a bamis yochid in the time where bamis are aser, you're over a laugh. Ask the Gemara, why are we defining the pasuk specifically that you brought the carbon Pesach on a bamis yochid at a time when bamis are aser? Maybe you should say that you're over that laugh at b'shas heter bamis kain, even when bamis are permitted during the time of Gilgal, during the time of Noiva Givon, you're not supposed to bring a Karm Pesach. Tamaloimer, how do I know to define that the Pasuk is speaking strictly in a time of Issa Bamis, not in a time of Heta Bamis? The Pasuk uses the words Ba'achet Sharecha to teach us, says the Braisa, Leimati Lecha, this Pasuk is only speaking to a time, B'shar Shekoy Yisrael Nach Nasim B'sharachet, where everybody comes to the same place, to one central location. Which is when? When there's a Beis Hamikdash, when there's a Shiloh standing and making Bamis Aser. That's what the Braisa says. Now, the Gemara drills down. Exactly at what time, when are we talking about? Amos, when is this Karmen Pesach being brought on this Bama? Inema, if you say it's Erev Pesach, after Chatzois, that you're bringing this Karmen Pesach, so why is the Braisa saying that you're over a laugh for bringing the Karmen Pesach instead of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, bringing it to your Bama, Karis Nechayiv. It should be Chayiv Karis. If somebody is supposed to bring a Karmen Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's able to, and he doesn't, even though it's a mitzvah to say, we know there's a Chayiv Karis. So why is the Bryce saying only Chayiv a laugh? Ella, what must the Bryce be speaking about? It's talking before Chatzos. That it isn't yet the time to bring the Karmen Pesach. And what is the Pasuk teaching us? What is the Braisa teaching us, that the Pasuk is teaching us? That if you bring a Karmen, which even though right now it isn't the time, but it's a temporary disqualification, it's Erev Pesach in the morning, in the afternoon it'll be the time, you're over a laugh. So that's where we see that a Karmen, who's temporary disqualified, if you bring it at that time in the wrong place, because you bring it to Bama, and you're not supposed to bring it to Bama, you're supposed to bring it to the base of Mikdash, tells us the Pasuk that you chayiv laugh. That's where Rav Shimon takes his din from. It says the Gemara, it's not compelling. Loilam, I'll say that the Pasuk is talking about Ach Chatzos. We asked if it's talking about Ach Chatzos, it's not just a laugh, it's a chayiv chorus. It's talking about a time of Heta Bamas Kai. It's talking about a case that even where Bamas are permitted, why are Bamas permitted? Because there is no Beis HaMikdash. It's the time of Gilgal. It's the time of Noiv and Givin. If somebody brings his Karben Pesach on his private Bama at that time, so it's not a temporary disqualification. It's a full-fledged disqualification. It's not becoming Mutter. There is no Beis HaMikdash. You're Chayiv. So why are you Chayiv? Because it's a full-fledged disqualification. But why would it be if it were a temporary disqualification? It could be, there's no lav at all. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that that's pshat in the Braisa? The Braisa says, b'shas issa bamas kamer. We're talking about a time where the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and bamas are there for usher. How are you saying that the bamas are permitted at this time? Answer the Gemara, what the Braisa meant when it used the word issa bama, it's usher bamaloi, it's usher to bring a carbon for the Karmen Pesach, because Karbanos Chayva cannot be brought on individual Bamas, on private Bamas, a Bamas Yachid, Het the Bamas L'Chaveroi, but for other Karbanos, for Nedarim V'Nedavos. But the Braisa is referring to a situation where Bamas are permitted. And since Bamas are permitted, taking that a step further, the Pesach is permanently disqualified, not just temporarily disqualified. That's where there's a chiv lav. But what about a case where it's only a temporary disqualification, meaning bringing the Karban Pesach in the morning of when Pesach is kosher in the afternoon, bringing it in the morning in a regular bama, in a bama siyachid? We don't know what the halacha will be, and we don't have a right from this to Rav Shimon's opinion. We learned in the Mishnah that what are examples of mechusas man, what are examples of kabonis that are temporarily disqualified. So the Mishnah gave examples of Zava, Yoledes, all of these women, all of these people who are tamei going to have to bring a carbon. And the Mishnah says that if they bring the carbonus before the time that they're obligated to bring it, there is no chiv karis for halos chutz. Why is there no chiv for halos chutz? Because the time for this carbon hasn't yet come. Ask the Gemara, look at all the Mishnah spoke about bringing the chatos or the asham too early. Ask the Gemara, all the people that mentioned in the Mishnah, the Zov, the Yoledes, none of them bring an asham. So the Gemara is asking a very simple kasha. V'ani b'nei asham esnenu, where is there a case of our Mishnah where there would be a chiv carbon asham, and just the asham was brought too early? All these people identified in the Mishnah aren't mechuyev to bring a carbon asham. Answers the Gemara, you have to add Mitzayra into the list, and a Mitzayra does have to bring the Asham. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that if a Mitzayra brought his Asham before he was supposed to, there won't be a Chiyav Halos Chutz. And he brought a Chutz, there won't be a Chiyav Halos Chutz for him. The next case of the Mishnah, I was saying with Shomayim, that if somebody brought the carbon oil or carbon shlomim b'chutz, before they were obligated to bring the carbon oil of a shlomim, there he would be chayif halos chutz. Why? When we learned the Mishnah, we gave two pshatim. One pshat is because you could always bring an oil of shlomim, even if you're not obligated, because oil of shlomim you can bring him in a dava. Another pshat, I think we quoted the Rambam, that the Rambam says even a person who's obligated to bring an oil of a shlomim, and he's supposed to wait until the right time, if he brings it early, the Rambam says he has fulfilled his obligation. Ask the Gemara, but again, let's look at the people of our Mishnah. The three cases mentioned in our Mishnah. Three people. Azov, Azova, or Yoledes. None of these people bring a carbon shlomim. V'hani b'nei shlomim inu? Where is there a case that they are mechuyev to bring a shlomim or an oila? They just brought it too early. None of them are ever going to be mechuyev to bring a carbon shlomim. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Shesha Tani Nazir. Add a Nazir into the Mishnah. And the halacha is that a Nazir is mechuyev to bring a carbon shlomim. That's what the Mishnah refers, that if the Nazir brought his carbon shlomim too early, he will be, and b'chutz, he will be chayiv karis. But now the Gemara makes a very interesting point. So what did we just have in the piece of Gemara we learned? First, the Gemara said that Ziri says we should insert into the Mishnah Mitzayra, and Rav Sheisha said we should insert into the Mishnah Nazir. Says the Gemara, the Ziri kovah tanai. After the Tanoim learned this Gemara, they said, you know what, Ziri, you're right. And we'll include in our Mishnah the word Mitzayra. The Rav Sheshes like Kavah Tanoim. Rav Sheshes, they didn't insert, the Rav Sheshes, who said the Nazir should be included in the Mishnah, wasn't inserted. So as the Rishayim and Achronim explained the Gemara, they explained the Gemara beautifully. Everybody, the Dibris Moshe, or Moshe, based on Taisfis, and the Dibris Moshe explains the Gemara as follows. Everybody agrees that both terutzim that the Gemara has offered, the teretz of Mitzayra and the teretz of Nazir, are good terutzim. And they should, and that's the way to understand the Mishnah. But you know, says Ramosha, in explaining Tosfos, to take a word that doesn't appear in the Mishnah and put it into the Mishnah, you have to be able to do that. You can't just do it. So he says, the word Mitzayra makes sense to include in our Mishnah. Because what's the Mishnah speaking about? Zov and Zava, and Yoledes. And Mitzayra is a perfect fit. Because Zav, Zava, Yoledes are all forms of Tumah, as Mitzayra is. Nazir, even though it's a good teretz, doesn't fit into the list. Nazir is not Tumah. So therefore, the Gemara found it easier to insert the word Mitzayra into the Mishnah than to insert the word Nazir into the Mishnah. So Moshe goes on to explain. He says, it's not to say that the Teretz isn't a good Teretz. And he says, if 100 years from now, as the Gemara was written, somebody's going to ask the question, where's the Shlomim? You're going to answer Nazir. But that doesn't mean that you have a right to put it into the Mishnah. Because to add a word to the Mishnah, it has to fit perfectly. Metzorah fits perfectly. Nazir doesn't.